Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
To the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, let me tell you what we're doing today. It's the offseason, so of course, we should talk about some teams who've had some pretty good off-seasons, okay, as far as not bringing in too many players, bringing in enough players, or bringing in the right coaches. I'm not sure. We're going to be doing that for the first two segments, and then for the last two, we're going to be talking about Jason Garrett, okay? Third segment, we'll be talking about Jason Garrett. Should he be on the hot seat? And then for the fourth segment, we'll talk about anything else going on in the world of sports, all right? So like I said, happy show, first two segments. Third segment, going to be talking about whether or not a man should be on the hot seat as far as his job security. And then, like I said, for the fourth segment, we could talk about another coach, or we could talk about whatever else crosses my mind as far as the world of football goes. All right, so that's how today's show is going to go. But nonetheless, like I said, who's had some real good offseasons so far? I'm going to start off with the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, Baltimore Ravens aren't necessarily in the greatest spot right now. I think considering the fact that Joe Flacco is their quarterback. Okay, you brought in Michael Crabtree. And I think you brought in Willie Snead also. Willie Snead isn't necessarily the greatest receiver. All right, I don't think he is as good as he is now than what he was over in New Orleans, all right? I think his prime years have passed him. Nonetheless, they also added John Brown also. Okay, so you got Crabtree, you got John Brown, you got Willie Snead, and you got Rashad Perriman, but how much longer are they going to wait on him? Okay, Perriman's going to be coming into his fourth season, hasn't really done anything since he's been drafted. All right. Over in the draft, you took Hayden Hurst, tight end, where's Hayden Hurst from? Out of South Carolina. Hayden Hurst maybe could be your next Todd Heap, Dennis Pitta type of guy. All right. They've always done relatively well as far as bringing in new tight ends and whatnot, haven't they? I'd say so. Okay. So that's what your offense is looking like. You still got Buck Allen and Alex Collins as your starting running backs. All right. Maybe you do something with Kenneth Dixon finally, but I'm not holding my breath there. Defense, you got Miles Humphrey. All right, Brandon Williams. CJ Mosley, who they're going to have to be playing pretty soon. Terrell Suggs, still doing the thing. Added Brandon Carr. All right, still got Jimmy Smith and Tony Jefferson, plus Eric Weddle. So they got a pretty solid defense still. All right, I'd say that this has been a successful offseason for the Ravens, just given the fact that, yeah, you did bring in a solid receiver in Michael Crabtree. You also did bring in a possible future starting tight end in Hayden Hurst. All right, you did do well in the draft also. And my favorite pick of that draft was you drafted a backup quarterback. You drafted a guy to take over for Joe Flacco. Okay? Joe Flacco, I'm not really sure what happened to the guy. But nonetheless, he's not the quarterback I think we all thought he'd end up being this late in his career. All right. Like, don't get me wrong. The guy's got a Super Bowl, but so does, of course, Trent Dilfer. All right. And don't get me wrong. Flacco at one point in his career was great. Okay. But as of late, the guy just hasn't looked good at all. And I think we're all starting to come to the realization of that. Been in the league since 2008, so he's played about 10 years. Right, he's played in 15 playoff games. And I mean, looking at it, could we be overreacting about Flacco? Let's see. They went to the Super Bowl in 2012, I believe. Actually, what year did they win it? Yeah, 2012. So since 2012, what have the Ravens exactly done? 2013, they go 8-8. Flacco completes 59% of his passes, 3,900 yards, 19 touchdowns, 22 interceptions. All right. Career worst year there. 2014, they go 10-6, 3,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, much better year. 2015, they go 3-7, all right, 2,700 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 picks. He only plays 10 games that year, and he goes 3-7 in those 10 games. 2016, they go 8-8 again, miss out on the playoffs for the second straight year. Completed 65% of his passes, 4,300 yards, 20 touchdowns, 15 picks. 2017, they go 9-7, miss out on the playoffs again. 64% completion percentage, 3,100 yards in 16 games. In all the years he's played 16 games, I believe that is his lowest yardage. Okay, in all the years he's played 16 games, that is the lowest amount of touchdowns he's thrown since his rookie year. And actually, the yardage is his lowest since his rookie year, because I forgot he did start 16 games that year. And then he threw 13 picks, which was his worst, the second worst of his career, or actually the third worst of his career. So 2017, he did have a career worst year. Okay. 2016, wasn't that much better. 2015, only played 10 games, was terrible in those 10. All right. Eventually, if you're the Ravens, you got to figure out, you know what, it's time to move on. All right, and I think it might just be time to move on for both parties here. Okay? Because Joe Flacco isn't a terrible quarterback. All right, it's not like he lacks talent. He has talent. If he didn't, they wouldn't have won a Super Bowl. Okay? But I think we're just at the point where maybe everyone's kind of overstayed their welcome there. Because, I mean, even last year, you had the owner talking about how, with them not making the playoffs, he thought about getting rid of John Harbaugh. Obviously, he didn't do it, but he said it crossed his mind. Okay. And if that's going on, then it just seems like it's time for change for everyone. I mean, I did think that John Harbaugh probably was going to be spending his last year with the Ravens this season. Because I don't think they're going to end up making the playoffs. But of course, like I said, he drafted a quarterback. Drafted Lamar Jackson. Right? This year, Lamar's going to be the backup. Or actually, RG3 is going to be the backup. Lamar will be the third quarterback. The only way I see Lamar Jackson playing this season is if Flacco comes out, RG3 comes in, and either RG3 is bad enough to where they need Lamar, or he gets hurt and they need Lamar. Okay. But obviously, now I understand why they brought in RG3. It's to, let's say if Joe Flacco doesn't work out, to see if that offense could work with him and Lamar. Or for Lamar. All right. And I mean, even then, so, looking at it, look, RG3 could be the starting quarterback of the Ravens next season with Lamar being the backup. Okay, I think this team is moving forward in the future as, like, to the point where Lamar Jackson eventually is their starting quarterback. But I don't think that needs to be within the next couple of years. Okay, if RG3 shows that he could start for you next season, then you start him. I think Lamar Jackson is fine with 2 years of development. After that, you see what he could do the third year. And if you like what you see, then you make Lamar the starter. Okay, but of course, drafting Lamar Jackson gives John Harbaugh security. It gives him 2 more guaranteed seasons. Okay, obviously you got kind of like this throwaway year this year with Flacco. Next season, if there's no improvement, then he's going to be gone. Okay. But nonetheless, I do like what the Ravens did. Okay. The best part of their offseason, like I said, is Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is probably the most talented quarterback in the draft as far as everything that he could do. Okay. Is he the best quarterback? I'm not exactly sure. But nonetheless, I mean, it's the same way we look at Brady and Rodgers, okay? Look at Brady as being the best quarterback in the league, but is he the most talented? No, because that's Aaron Rodgers. So yes, I guess in a way there can be both. As weird as that is. Okay. But, I mean, the Ravens have never necessarily had a truly great quarterback. Alright. Dilfer wasn't great by any means. I mean, go look at that playoff run they made with him. Look at his stats. Alright, and I'm not trying to bash Trent Dilfer. It's just the truth. Okay. Like, I'm sure Trent Dilfer would tell you too. Yeah, I stunk that playoff run, but nonetheless, he's got a ring. That's all that matters. Alright, I'm not trying to hit on the fact that Trent Dilfer's got a ring. He still contributed something to that team. Was it a lot? No. But nonetheless, he contributed. Okay. Flacco was pretty good in that Super Bowl run. But, nonetheless, you get what I'm getting at here. Alright, let's take a look at the list of starting quarterbacks for the Baltimore Ravens. Alright. Steve McNair, 2006-2007. Kyle Bowler. So Vinny Testaverde in 96. Testaverde and Eric Zier, 97. Jim Harbaugh and Eric Zier, 98. 1999, it was Tony Banks, Stoney Case, Scott Mitchell. 2000, it was Trent Dilfer and Tony Banks. So Dilfer didn't even start 16 games that season. 2001, it was Elvis Gerbach and Randall Cunningham. 2002, Jeff Blake and Chris Redman. 2003, Kyle Bowler, Anthony Wright. 2004, Kyle Bowler. 2005, Kyle Bowler, Anthony Wright. 2006, Steve McNair. 2007, Kyle Bowler, Steve McNair, Troy Smith. And then the Joe Flacco era starts. Okay. Flacco starting all 16 games from 2009, 2014, 2015. Flacco only starts 10 games that season. I believe he's hurt. Matt Schaub, Jimmy Clausen, Ryan Mallett all get two starts. And then the last two seasons, Flacco's gotten 16 starts there. So obviously, the Ravens quarterback situation hasn't necessarily been the most glamorous. But they've made it work. All right. But nonetheless, I do think the Ravens have had a really good offseason. I like what they've done. All right, they've planned for the future with adding some talent already. So we'll see how they do this season and next season. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about some more teams who have done well in the offseason. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the Baltimore Ravens and their offseason so far. All right, talked about what I liked about it, talked about their future. So that's what we did for the first segment. Second segment, we're going to talk about any other teams going on, what I liked about their offseason. So let's get right into that. All right, another team's offseason that I liked was the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're probably thinking, wait, what did they do? Didn't they get rid of Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns? Yes, they did. Okay. But nonetheless, there was a plan for Jacksonville, and it seems that they were just trying to execute that plan. Okay. Receivers get younger. Defense gets more depth. All right. Because, I mean, looking at it, Allen Hurns didn't do anything last season. Okay. Allen Robinson was out for the entire year. All right. Plus, you got some younger guys on your depth chart that are pretty much looking like they're ready for a bigger role. Okay, D.D. Westbrook, Keenan Cole, Marquise Lee, guys like that. All right, so the Jags felt, you know what, it's time to give the reins to those guys, get rid of the older guys, talking about Robinson and Hurts. Okay, Robinson and Hurts were a nice little 1-2 duo, all right, for like 5 years. Hurts had one solid season after that, kind of, you were waiting for him to get back to it. He never did. And with Robinson, we know what kind of receiver he is. It's just this past year, he was out with a season-ending injury. Okay. And like I said, on defense, they didn't really need to do too much, just add some depth, which they did during the draft. Added another defensive tackle, added another safety, added another linebacker, and added special teams player in Logan Cook, punter out of Mississippi State. All right. I think Ronnie Harrison's going to be a good safety for that team. I think Tavon Bryan, defensive tackle out of Florida, could be a guy who he's not going to get starts or anything like that, but could be decent in the snaps he gets. And then Leon Jacobs, outside linebacker out of Wisconsin, drafted in the 7th round. Will he make the team? Who knows? All right. But nonetheless, the Jaguars stayed quiet, and I think that is perfect. Okay. If you're the Jags, you know that you have a team who is ready to compete for the top spot. All right. Because if they weren't, then you wouldn't have been in the AFC Championship game. And obviously, teams like that, look at it this way, okay? Let's look at the Rams and the Jags. Both real young teams last season. Would you agree? Yeah, I think you would. Okay. Both have been relatively bad in the past. And both last season saw that they could take the next step and be a team that competes for the title. For the Super Bowl. Okay? I think we could both agree. Rams lost in the wild card game. Jaguars lost in the AFC Championship. All right. Rams don't play the defending Super Bowl runner-ups in the wild card game. I'm sure the Rams probably have a chance at getting out. But nonetheless, it doesn't work out that way. So I think that's why they lost. All right. I don't think necessarily they lost because of talent. They lost because of experience. So that happens to the Rams. And like I said, Jags, they get to play the Bills round one in the wild card game. So that's not necessarily a tough task. And then you play the Steelers, who were a tough matchup. And then you lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, like I said, okay? We're right there. We're very close. All right? One decided, you know what? We're not going to do too much. We're going to stay put. We're going to bring our guys back. And we're going to add depth. The Rams, on the other hand, went crazy. Okay? The Rams said, Not forget our young guys, but they saw, hey, we have needs at this spot, that spot, and that spot. What can we do to fill those needs? Okay, talking about the secondary, and I'm talking about receiver. Defensive tackle, not necessarily the biggest need on that team, given the fact that you do have the best defensive tackle in the game. But nonetheless, they bring in some big-name players. Okay. They bring in Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Brandon Cooks to be the number one receiver, and then Ndamukong Suh just because they want to be dominant, I guess. Like, I didn't really think there was a big need, a defensive tackle. All right. So they do that. The Rams went one way. The Jaguars went another. The Rams went out and got established guys. The Jaguars are hoping that the guys from their team, the guys they drafted, the guys that they're trying to develop, turn out to be what they need. All right, because I'll tell you this much, as much as I am excited about the Jags wide receiver corps, there's no guarantee that they turn out to be good. This could just be a point where it blows up in Jacksonville's face. Okay, Keenan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Marquise Lee, as much as I like them, they could just have bad years. Okay, and wide receiver is definitely a position of need for this team. As of right now. Of course, we got to wait and see the development. But as of right now, we don't know what they're going to look like. Okay. So, I mean, there is risk to it at both points. Because with the Rams, you're bringing in a lot of guys who have done well at the teams behind before them. All right. We're the number one guys there. And seemingly got what they wanted. Now you're going to be coming into a team where they already got their thing going on. Okay, they don't need you to save the team. They just need you to do your job. So that might be a little bit different. Okay. Brandon Cooks is no longer the number one player on their offense. Is no longer the number one player on an offense. That's Todd Gurley. Okay. And as far as defense, I'm curious to see how that locker like that. I'm just curious to see not just the defense, the whole team, but the locker room. I mean, there's a lot of new faces in there. A lot of egos. Okay. And I'm curious, is the production between Sue and Donald, I'm curious to see how that plays together. All right. Is production going to kind of even out and balance out? Is one guy going to get more of the production than the other, or are they just going to cause havoc? Because, I mean, you can't double one because you leave the other one one-on-one. All right. And like I said, it's going to be tough for offensive lines. Because like, oh, we're going to double Donald on this play. All right, we're going to leave Sue one-on-one with our weakest guard. And actually, too, the Rams won a 3-4, so you could be seeing Sue lining up a bit on the inside edge or whatever as a defensive end. All right. But like I said, I mean, I'd say both teams had really good off seasons. The Jaguars for staying quiet, the Rams for going out and getting what they needed. All right, and I would not be opposed to a Jacksonville Jaguars, Los Angeles Rams Super Bowl. All right, we got Goff versus Bortles, Fournette versus Gurley. All right, Cooks, Kupp, and Woods versus Cole, Westbrook, and Lee. Top defense versus top defense. I mean, they're basically the same teams, okay? Just the Rams get to play over in L.A. in the NFC. Jaguars get to play over in Jacksonville in the AFC. All right, let's say that, yeah, Jaguars are the best team in Florida right now. All right, that necessarily hasn't been the toughest crown to obtain. All right. Nonetheless, like I said, I mean, I'm curious to see what the Jaguars look like this season. All right. Last year, they went 10-6, make it all the way to the AFC Championship game. Now this season, Blake Bortles is their quarterback of the future, at least for the next few years. Okay. Titans got better. Texans are going to be getting better. And if Andrew Luck is as healthy as the Colts say, they will be better. All right. So like I said, it's not necessarily a set in stone thing that the Jags are even going to make the playoffs this season. Crazier things have happened. All right, and they do play in the toughest division of the AFC. I mean, we could see three teams coming out of this division into the playoffs this season. I would not be surprised at that at all. All right, if we had the Jags winning the division and the Texans and Titans making the playoffs, or even the Colts for that matter. Because let's not forget about the Colts. Andrew Luck, when he's out there playing healthy at 100% and looking good, there's no one better than him, really. And he's a guy who will take this terrible team to the playoffs, if need be. He's that good. Let's not forget. All right? So, we'll see how it all goes down. But nonetheless, I really do like the Jags offseason. I like the Rams offseason. I definitely do like the... Who are we talking about in the first segment? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. The Ravens. All right? Usually because when we talk about the Ravens, not necessarily the nicest of things. All right, but nonetheless, I really like those three teams' off seasons. Ravens gave themselves a shot at the future, okay? Especially John Harbaugh. Jags seemingly sticking to their young guns, developing their talent, and the Rams saying, forget it, we're going to go out and get what we need, and we're going to go and just take over. So we'll see how it all ends up, but nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, I'm going to be talking about Jason Garrett. Should he be on the hot seat or not? Stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to Extreme Cage Fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMC.com. gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about some teams, talked about the off seasons that I liked. We've talked about the Ravens, the Jags, and the Rams. Now we're going to talk about Jason Garrett. Okay. You think Jason Garrett knows any secrets about Jerry Jones that we don't know? Anything like that? I'm curious because Jason Garrett, what do we think of Jason Garrett as a coach? I wouldn't say he's a great coach. I wouldn't say he's a bad coach. I'd say he's an average coach right now. Okay. Would I say Jason Garrett the top 10 coach in the league? Not necessarily. Okay, I'd say as of right now, I'm taking Doug Peterson out of Philly. I will take Mike Zimmer out of Minnesota. I will take Ron Rivera, Dan Quinn, and Sean Payton all out of NFC South. I will take Pete Carroll. I like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Belichick, obviously. Tomlin, that's already 10. Okay. Let's see. I'll take him over the coaches of the AFC South as of right now. All right. AFC West, I will take Reed over him. All right. So I'd say as of right now, Jason Garrett's probably the 12th best coach in the league for me. And I'd say I feel pretty comfortable having him there. That's a little bit above the average. All right, with the line at 15 as the half. He's the better half of coaches in the league. Okay. Would I say that? I mean, that pretty much, him being the 12th best coach in the league pretty much shows what kind of coach he's been since he took over in Dallas. Took over in 2010, halfway through the season. He coached 8 games. They won 5 of them. All right, so he was 5-3 there. 2011, his first full season, they go 8-8. 2012, his second full season, they go 8-8. 2013, they go 8-8. Okay. Well, obviously, not great at all. Okay. And then 2014, his first taste of success. They win a playoff game, end up losing to the Packers. I think that was the one where Dez did or didn't catch it. For the record on that play, I do think Dez caught it. Okay, I don't get the whole, like, how he did it. He caught it, brought it in, took 2 steps, football move, reached out. That's when it came out. All right, that should have been a catch. 2015, they go 4-12. 2016, they go 13-3, lose to the Packers off of a Mason Crosby field goal, I believe it was. And then this past season, 2017, they do finish over 500 at 9-7, but missed the playoffs. Okay, so I'd say, yeah, Garrett being the 12th best coach in the league kind of resembles his time with the Cowboys so far. Okay. And the only reason I ask, do you think Jason Garrett has any secrets about Jerry Jones that we don't know, is because this is the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, this team's got, what, 5 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowls? They should be. Competing every year, at least being a great team every year. All right, they should be one of the top teams, but they're not. They've only made the playoffs in Garrett's 8 seasons twice. Okay, I guess 7 seasons, because I'm not sure if you want to count that first year. All right, but nonetheless, yeah, they've only made the playoffs twice, only got 1 playoff win. What if they don't make it this year? Okay, that's only 2 playoff appearances in 9 years. I mean, in what way does that work anywhere else? Okay, over in Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis has kept the job so long because he's made the playoffs year after year. Sure,
they get bounced in the wild card round or the division round, depending on which one they get to play first. Okay, but he stays because they're constantly in the playoffs. I mean, would you even take... I don't know. Would I take Marvin Lewis over Jason Garrett? Marvin Lewis has made the playoffs more. Granted, they both have had pretty much the same amount of playoff success. Actually, I guess you could say Jason Garrett has been more successful in the playoffs. All right? Garrett's at least got one playoff win. Marvin Lewis, I don't think, has one. And you got to think, you think that keeps Marvin Lewis up at night? The fact that he's never won a playoff game? All right? Because, I mean, it might. All right? At least with Jason Garrett. I don't know. Jason Garrett's a weird coach. I don't know how I feel about the guy. All right, and looking at Marvin Lewis, I don't believe he's ever won. Yeah, he's never won a playoff game. 15 years as the Bengals coach, not one playoff game. He's been to, let's see, how many playoff games has he been to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 playoff games, not one win. One and done every time. I mean, that's honestly pretty impressive to do, but nonetheless, like I said, I would justify Jason Garrett being around for so long, though, if he made the playoffs year after year and lost at least. But like I said, I mean, if they don't make it this year, does Jerry Jones keep Jason Garrett around? All right. I think he does. I don't think he should. Just given the fact that eventually you're just stuck. Okay? Right now, I'd say that the Bengals are stuck. You don't want to get stuck. Okay, you either want to be moving forward or you want to be getting into the process of moving forward. Okay. How do we know that? And I mean, it's kind of tough. Jason Garrett's in a, like, this whole coaching situation's in a bit of a tough one because Garrett's got a third-year quarterback and a third-year running back as his best players. Okay. And that kind of adds time, I guess, to his tenure, meaning it adds more years to him that will. Kind of like how I said with John Harbaugh. All right, you had the owner thinking about firing him after this past season because they didn't make the playoffs. Of course, the owner didn't. All right. So if you're John Harbaugh, what do to extend your coaching career? You go, you draft a quarterback in the first round. You show your owner, hey, this guy we got right here, he's not really what we need anymore. It's not working out. All right, give me some time with this new guy. And then you'll see, we'll be fine. And that's kind of what Jason Garrett's got here. But Tony Romo, he wasn't winning anything. Okay. But now we've hit this new era with Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. So now you want to see what exactly, if you're Jerry Jones, we want to see what Jason Garrett could do with his team. Jason Garrett basically telling Jerry Jones, hey, I know it wasn't really working out with the pass guy, but we got these two new guys here. Let me show you what I could do with them. All right. So Jason Garrett, with decent drafting, whether it was Jerry Jones or him drafting these two guys, saved himself a couple of years as far as being the head coach in the of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. But like I said, I mean, if they don't, we know what Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are going to be. We know they're going to be very good. And we know that they're capable of leading this Cowboys team to being over 500. Okay, because we've seen that twice. All right, even last year, the Dallas Cowboys looked terrible. They finished 9-7. All right, so that's why I'm thinking that if they don't make the playoffs this season, then maybe you got to get rid of the guy. Because we know this is a good team. All right, that's not the conversation we're having here. The conversation we're having here is if Jason Garrett could get the most out of these guys, or if they're just going to be kind of stuck in mediocrity. Because if you're the Cowboys, you need to be like the Steelers. You need to be like the Patriots. Okay, you need to be like those teams who are constantly competing amongst the best in the NFL. All right, because, I mean, there's always been times where, like, the Steelers were bad for a period of time. The Patriots, I mean, before 2000, nobody knew even who they were. Okay. But of course, so I guess the Steelers are the right pick. Okay, the Steelers, yeah, they'll go from a little bad periods of time, not being the best. But more so, they're in the national spotlight as far as making the playoffs more so than they're not. Okay? And let me see if I could see exactly. I could probably tell you how many times the Steelers have been under 500. All right. I'm not going to go through every season, but looking at it, I mean, they had 2 years in 2013, 2012, where they went 8-8, missed out on the playoffs. Last 4 years, they make the playoffs. 2 years before that, they make the playoffs. Okay, then they go 9-7. They go 6-10 in 2003. That's their worst season up to date. All right. 6-10, 2003, remember that. Then they go 6-10, 7-9 in 1999, 1998. Okay. I mean, they've always been a really good team. You get what I'm trying to say here. But they keep themselves at the top. That's what Dallas needs to do. They need to keep themselves near the top. Sure, you're going to have those seasons where you go 7-9, 6-10. But of course, don't be that team that gets stuck after that. You want to get back to being one of the best. And I think that with Jason Garrett, they can't necessarily be that. With Jason Garrett, the Cowboys are always going to be another team. They're going to go through their bad spells. They're going to go through their good spells. Okay? But they'll never be just good. All right. And I think with Dallas, they just need to be a whole lot better given the history of that franchise and whatnot. So I think after the season, I mean, they don't make the playoffs. Maybe you do think about getting rid of them. Okay. Plus, this team is too good. I don't know. NFC is way too good. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that go into it. But if Dallas doesn't have necessarily the greatest season, then I do think you got to think about getting rid of them. But we'll see if they end up doing that. So nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, world of football, I should say. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about the Jags, Rams, and Ravens. And then for the third segment, we've talked about Jason Garrett. All right. And going back on that Jason Garrett segment, I mean, Jerry Jones is a guy who, he's got an ego. Let's not act like he doesn't. All right. And this is something that kind of plays into whether or not you bring back Jason Garrett if they miss out on the playoffs this season. All right. Jerry Jones with the ego he's got. Cowboys, America's team. Cowboys supposed to be number one team and all that. Yeah, in your division, you got those Eagles. Those Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Okay. Those Eagles look like, going forward, they'll probably win another one. Okay. Dallas hasn't won anything since the 1990s. Of course, last time the Eagles won a Super Bowl was never. Okay? Prior to last season. Alright? But the point I'm trying to make here is that you have the Eagles in your division. Alright? Your biggest rivals, I'd say. They make the playoffs year after year now. They won a Super Bowl already. You think Jerry wants to miss out on that? You think Jerry wants someone else in his division outplaying him? I don't think so. All right. And I think that puts a little bit more on Jason Garrett's hot seat. Jerry Jones doesn't want to be worse than the Eagles. Okay. No way. So that's where I can see it also playing. Like, that plays a factor into it too. Okay, you're the Dallas Cowboys. You shouldn't be having another team in the division being as successful as you. I'm sure that's the way Jerry Jones sees it. Okay? Jerry Jones values his team very highly. They've won five titles, been there eight times. Okay? This isn't a point where you start falling off to the Eagles. No way.
All right.
So like I said, they got to make the playoffs this season. They don't. Jerry needs to get rid of the guy. Okay? We already know what Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott can do. This is their third season. You don't finish over 500 in your first two seasons for no reason. All right. Jason Garrett kind of gets a pass from last season, given the fact that Ezekiel Elliott was out for most of the season. So I say, yeah, this year. All right. Kind of like the Adam Gase effect. Adam Gase makes the playoffs his first season. Second season, big-time player on that team gets hurt. All right. They miss out. Cowboys, they make the playoffs in Elliott and Elliott and Prescott's first season. Second season, Elliott gets suspended for six games. They miss out. Okay, so now you're going to see in this third season what exactly Jason Garrett can really do. Is it going to be more of the first year, or is it going to be a second year type of thing where they don't play their best and they miss out? All right. That's kind of the question they're at right now. So we'll see how it ends up going down. I mean, what's Dallas' schedule looking like this season? They got the Panthers week one. That's going to be tough. Obviously, you got to play your division six times this season. You got to play in Seattle. That's a winnable game. You got to play You got to play the AFC South. All right. You got to play the NFC South also. So, I mean, you got to play the NFC East, which is one of the best divisions in football. You got to play the AFC South, which is the best division there. And you got to play the NFC South, which is the best division in the NFC. I mean, it's tough. All right, you're playing teams from, I'd say, three of the top four divisions. Okay. South being number one. Whether or not you want to rank the North or the East, that number two is up to you. And then you got the South, the AFC South, which is number four. Not necessarily the easiest task this season. So the Cowboys could fall out and wouldn't necessarily be, I mean, it'd be their fault, but just a matter of circumstance. We had to play the best team week to week. All right. So that's possible there, too. But like I said, I mean, there's no real excuses here for the Cowboys. Obviously, if you want to be one of the best teams in the league, you got to beat the best teams in the league. So we'll see what ends up going down there. All right. Let's see. Anything else going on in the world of football right now? Like I said, we're at the point where suspensions are the things getting reported. All right. We got about 27 days till the Hall of Fame game. Can't wait for that. And I mean, we need the Hall of Fame game. Just wait till I give you the full-blown analysis of the Hall of Fame game, too. All right. That's going to be something special. But nonetheless, looking at it, there's not much else going on right now. Like I said, the only real news stories going on is who's going to take over Cleveland over for the Browns. LeBron James is no longer there, and I feel like when LeBron's not there, it's a football town. All right? So which player is going to take over as the king of Cleveland? Is it Baker Mayfield? He might not even play this season. Okay? Is it Josh Gordon? I don't know. We got to see how much longer he's going to stay in Cleveland. He's only got about maybe a year left there before he's got a new deal up. Jarvis Landry, possibly. He's going to be there for a while. Maybe it's Tyrod Taylor. Okay. I mean, Tyrod Taylor gone from the Ravens to the Bills. Made the playoffs with the Bills. They didn't want him anymore, so now he's here. Maybe he finds himself in Cleveland long term. It's possible. I mean, let's say that Cleveland ends up somehow making... Let's say Cleveland goes 8-8 this season. Are you really going to switch over to Baker Mayfield the next year? Where you had a guy who took you from one win to 7 more in the next season? All right? I don't think so. Tyrod Taylor, when he's got talent around him, is a very good quarterback. Cleveland could have a problem where Tyrod's good enough to where they're stuck with him. Okay? Another Buffalo Bills type of problem. You weren't anticipating this guy being this good. All right? And, I mean, the Bills really did, after 21 years, make the playoffs and got rid of that quarterback that got him there. The same offseason, the offseason after. All right? That's why the Bills missed out on the playoffs for 21 years. Stuff like that. You got a guy who takes you to the playoffs and you still don't want him? I don't understand it. Okay? Buffalo right now for me is one of the worst teams in the NFL. Let's see. Who would I take over Buffalo right now? All right. I'll take Miami. I will take New England. I will take the Jets. I will take the Ravens. I will take the Bengals. I will take the Browns. I will take the Steelers. I will take the Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans, the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders over the Bills right now. So basically what? There's about 16 teams. So there's about the 15 teams in the AFC besides the Bills I will take. The Bills for me are the worst team in the NFL right now. They're kind of competing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. No real offensive weapons besides LeSean McCoy. Defense is good, but I mean, what good is it if you're not going to be able to score? Okay. Your defense gives up 7 points, game's over. Kind of like with Denver the last 2 years. Okay. So I'd say right now, yeah, the Bills are the worst team in the NFL, and they got rid of the quarterback that took them to the playoffs. All right. For me, they go from being a playoff team last season to now, worst team in the NFL here. Okay. Now I feel bad for whoever's starting for that team week one because you don't really have anything to work with. All right. You don't have a true number one receiver. You got LeSean McCoy, but you can't give him the ball every play of the game. Okay. So, I mean, over in Buffalo, they could go 1-15. But, nonetheless, I mean, we'll see. The Bills could surprise somehow, some way. Maybe Zay Jones is what they expected. Maybe Kelvin Benjamin is what everyone expected him to be, where that usually doesn't happen, though, where you got a player playing the way he has for the last 4 years, and don't expect him to change it. All right, like I said, we'll see how it all goes down. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Today, we talked about the Jags, Ravens, and Rams, talked about why I like their off seasons. Okay, we talked about the Cowboys, how much longer do you stick with Jason Garrett? And then we talked about the Bills, too, along with many other things in this segment. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.